Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. welcome to the Chef Rob Show here at Blog Talk Radio. If you like the show, go ahead and follow me. I think I have a couple of interesting things to talk about tonight. Biggest problem I'm having right now is my guests aren't here, so I'm just going to go ahead and continue because they said they'll be a little bit late. I was traveling here recently, and it was hitting me because I went across both borders, Canadian and Mexican border. I was doing a lot of stuff. And the thing that was coming to mind was the currency. And it just, you know, just shows you what kind of place you live in when you live in America. You know, if it's not put out there in your face every day, you really don't pay attention to it no more. But it hit me about the currency, about the money here, and what's going on. And a friend of mine, just as I got back, showed me a video. I'm going to put that video in the chat room once again. He showed me a video. It's called The Goldsmith's Tale. And it really, 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 really messed my mind up. Because I always thought that it was just straight, your dollars was just backed by gold and everything was all right. But it was always some shady, a gray area in the whole thing. But after looking at that video, I was like, man, dollars ain't really worth nothing. And I'm hoping that one of my buddies call in, because he and I got to talking, and we were talking about how a lot of these, we live in Chicago, so how these young people are killing themselves over that paper. And that's all it basically is, paper. When what I'm seeing is the way to boost the economy is just to throw some old paper into it. Now, your paper ain't really worth nothing. It ain't really backed by nothing. And my buddy had saw that video quite a few times, and I only saw it a couple, but it just stuck in my mind, the idea of this whole thing is a game, it's a farce, it's fake, it's an illusion. And we got the biggest part that just bothers me most than anything is just a lot of people out here killing themselves and doing all kinds of immoral stuff for that money. We are in a system that is never been a way for us to go ahead and prosper, never been a way for us to go ahead and make it. We're in a system that we, as descendants of African royalty, I'll say, we're catching hell. And a lot of it's for that paper. I mean, once I was, I know a little bit. I like to listen to a lot of brothers and sisters talk about our history and stuff, and I go ahead and take that along with me. But I feel that at this point, my mission, my goal is to try to go ahead and try to do my part to go ahead and do some of the things Marcus Garvey and others tried to do for us. Get our own stuff. Nationhood, nation building. I'm all for that. So it's rough, and I don't have a real serious background in finance, but I'm not a dummy either. So it's a thing where when it smells like something wrong, looks like something wrong, feels like something wrong, and something's wrong. So this financial system is something wrong. And when we go ahead and look at that thing about wealth, constantly look at how we are exploited. We don't have any, we don't gain a lot of wealth in this country. There's some of us that are rich, but a lot of us are just not wealthy. And that wealth goes a lot longer, further than being rich. Because when you got wealth, you got a whole lot of stuff to back it up. Just like with this fake banking system. In that video, I was looking at how they were using quite a few different things of value as money. Then they start throwing their money. They start going ahead and grabbing gold, this guy got the idea of going here and having a bank, you know, having a place to hold it, people putting their money in there. And then he said, hey, look, I got another bright idea. Let me lend it out to people with interest to get some back. One big fucking farce. One one scam after another. And that's all I see America is, just one scam after another. And what turns my stomach even more, makes me think about this system, and I think we need to review it a lot more, and I want to go ahead and learn as much as I can, is watching this political situation, and I was trying to go ahead and tell the individual today that hey, politics matter. These guys set policy that you have to follow every day. Can't run a red light. It's law against that. So the politicians are putting law in place. And go run in the store and just go in and drink a beer. Hey, laws put in place. You know, it's a whole bunch of stuff. I even seen some stuff where, hey, it's hard for you to wear a hoodie in certain places. And, hey, if you got some kind of stuff covering your face up that looks like a mask, you can get some special attention, I'll say. So the whole thing's a farce. Politics, the banking system, the Federal Reserve. I don't know a lot about that. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. But I knew for a long time that the Federal Reserve was some shady stuff. And I'm just not feeling it, that whole patriotic American deal right now, because I see too many other people going ahead and hurting too bad. And we got this illusion that if we got a whole lot of paper stack, we all right, we straight. I can get with that to a point, but if you got that paper stack, if you got that money, you should have a plan to back it up. That way you don't go ahead and be out here almost begging for crumbs. And it's just like when I look at some of the individuals that are playing sports or in the music and movies, especially black folks. You cannot explain to me how these guys wind up filing for bankruptcy. And unless you just go ahead and say it's sheer, utter stupidity. It just makes me sick. But again, these guys can go ahead and do almost anything, especially the entertainers of music and movies. They'll do almost anything to go ahead and get that money. Just about anything to get that cash. And it is just shocking how low these people will sink just to go ahead and get that paper. Let me bring in my first caller. Brother Pianchi, is that you?
Yeah, man. Somebody said you was having a party.
I am having a party. I'm having a party September 8th.
And you was providing food.
I'm providing breakfast brunch. My guest speaker will be Dr. Umar Johnson.
Breakfast brunch? That sounds like some bagels and orange juice.
It's going to be a brunch. I'll just say that. I won't say the breakfast part. I just say brunch. I threw that in there wrong. It's my fault. Sorry, I didn't want to misinform anybody, but it's a brunch. It's a brunch.
I've been lured to things before under the disguise of a brunch. And all
okay.
It was bagels and orange juice and some grapes.
Okay, well, you show up to this one. I'm trying to go ahead and finagle you to get into this one, and I'm going to go ahead and set your oranges and bagels to the side. And then I'm going to flip omelets for everybody else. You want me to do that?
Yeah, but I see what you had talked about the Federal Reserve, but really, the best way to study that is to go back further and back during the time of Jefferson and Hamilton and Aaron Burr, you know, Jefferson, them bankers always did want to have a central bank. Matter of fact, it was Paul Warburg at the meeting that they had there at Jekyll Island. They had the Warburg, the Rothschild, and so forth. He recommended they not use the word central bank, but rather use the word Federal Reserve System. And that's how you're stuck with the word today.
Wow.
But as I said before, once you go back and go back to the beginning of, I say, the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, who was not only not a non-believer in Jesus Christ, like Washington, who died and had somebody there sitting alongside of him so that they could say that he never did call upon the Lord as he was dying. Look how they looked at the system. It's one thing I can give them some credit is that, and besides that, the Constitution itself was against taxes of income, which I am still against taxes of income today. And myself and a lot of people are.
Oh, come on, brother.
For making sense.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on a minute. You know what? And I've been seeing that too. I had something around that video where it was talking about the we shouldn't be paying income taxes. It's not constitutional to be paying income taxes.
Well, you shouldn't be paying taxes on your wages. And
On your wages.
Yeah. Well, because income has been broadly described to be damn near if you find a quarter laying on the ground. So wages, you know, a person's wages, they never intended on that to be taxes. They intended on imposing tariffs, imposing fees, which makes sense because, for instance, if you wanted to build a people that uses a road, well, they pay use tax through the purchase of gasoline. If you don't want to pay the tax, then ride the bus or ride your bike. You follow me?
Yeah,
and
I got you.
I was reading someplace where the Republican vice president nominee, I think he either supported or sponsored a bill in his state that imposed a tax on arrow shafts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's 39 cents an arrow shaft in order to raise money. Well, that's basically what they was intending for when they formed the Constitution. Now, if you don't want to pay that tax, Rob, guess what? Don't buy no arrows. Make your own arrows.
Okay.
Now, go to another buy your arrows.
But making your okay.
You understand what I'm
saying? One instance and go ahead and say try to apply that to other stuff. How can you go ahead and get out of not paying these taxes because they under their constitution a lot of stuff is illegal. So
well, you don't get out. You're not gonna get out of paying them now. It's very difficult. I've seen people win judgments in court, and it depends on the jury. Sometimes judges won't even let federal presidents' cases come be used as a defense. So I wouldn't even think about that.
That's an uphill climb that we just couldn't go ahead and deal with.
White folks have not even tried that. So I would. Now I tell you what. Now this is honest guy true. I know one brother who don't pay income taxes. He works for an automobile manufacturer, and they don't take a penny out of his taxes after he got through writing, after he's been to court, and so on and so on. But he based it on the slave clauses in the United States Constitution.
Was that Robert Blake? What was his name?
No, his name is not Blakey. I really don't want to mention his name on here.
Okay,
I privately. Next time next time you hit me up. But that's
okay,
the only
yeah.
I know that's the only person that I know that used that method. And there has been some more that use some different methods, maybe one or two that was found.
I've seen where people who have used that certain slave clauses, certain clauses from the Constitution applying to slaves. I've seen them use that, but I don't know what the outcome was. I really need to know who was successful at it because I don't think I should be paying taxes for a whole lot of stuff that I'm not even getting nothing uses out of. I've always said.
Matter of fact, my friend Kimmy New is in the chat room. I don't even want to talk about that around him because he'll try to go out and try it. And be locked up in jail. Won't have nobody to be aggravating us from time to time.
We don't need all that. But the Federal Reserve has been around for a while, and it said that they're owned by just a small group of individuals. You know, I really think that's against the principles of America, don't you think?
Well, it's against the principles of America, but they enacted the law, and the act back in 1913 was approved on December the 23rd. For 99 years, it expires the 23rd of this year, of this December of this year. It was introduced by Senator Aldrich. I can't think of his first name.
Well, that ain't gonna go ahead and read front page news. That's gonna be swept, you know, way, 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 way back. You know, he ain't gonna let you know about that.
Ron Paul is the only one I've heard really put that out there. Chris Christie, he talks about it. That's why I come out preferring Ron Paul as a president. If you really want to straighten out, I say, if you really want to do the things that's needed in order to straighten out the monetary system of this country, I think he would have done it. For my, but I don't think.
Yeah, well, you know, the only beef I had with him really was, you know, some of that old writings. You know, they just seem a little like racist to me, and some of the other little silly stuff he said. That's why I really couldn't trust him. I mean, we in bad shape now. We don't need nobody going to
wait on us. Nixon said Nixon called blacks little black bastards and everything else. But you know what he did? He provided monies for blacks to start businesses.
Oh, okay, yeah. And I had a.
He also brought your affirmative action.
But Nixon, at Nixon too.
Yes.
One thing that I mean, remember how that clip went? Because it's been a while since I've seen it. The clip was you know how they've been putting out the Nixon tapes and stuff. One of the tapes was talking about Africa. And he was saying, hey, look, if they knew what they had over there, the whole world would be upside down.
Nixon said, I know that there are times when abortions are necessary. I know that when you have, he paused and he said, when you have black and white. He went on to say, and I know this isn't the topic of your conversation. He said, as I told you, you and we talked about it earlier, that a hell of a lot of people want to control all the Negro bastards. And, you know, he said some other things, but not only him, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said some things too in a New York Times article, which was printed back in July the 12th, 2009, called The Place of Women in the Court. And one of the Supreme Court justices that Obama just appointed, Sotomayor, was also, you know, they were talking about the remarks that she made about being a product of affirmative action and, you know, so on and so on and so on. But she said that when she was being interviewed, and she was talking about the ruling at that time was called Harris versus McRae back in 1980, where the court upheld the Hyde Amendment, which forbids the use of Medicaid for abortion. And the same thing that Todd Akins was basically getting around to talking about just when he quoted what he doctors had told him. But Ruth, she said that she had thought that at the time Roe was decided, that there were concerns, Rob, about population growth, and particularly growth in population that we don't want to have too many of. Well, I guess wonder who she was talking about. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. See, we caught up in this system. And it's hurting us really bad.
You get excited with it, like you was talking about what Ron Paul said that was found racist. The hell what Ron Paul said that sound racist. What is Ron Paul doing that you can benefit off of monetarily in order to better yourself? What did
I get that. Because I do catch some of the things he says and some of the stuff he keeps coming at the Federal Reserve a lot. Federal Reserve this, Federal Reserve that. I don't think he was saying do away with it. He was saying that they need to be audited. Wasn't that what he was saying?
Well, he think it should be audited because an audit would tell a whole lot. We're talking about asking Mitt Romney for 12 years of his income tax return. Well, hell, let's audit the Federal Reserve and see who gets what. Who gets that $225 billion in interest on the U.S. debt that was that American citizens have to pay.
How do you, you know what? See, we need to figure out how do you go ahead and know what the Federal Reserve is holding. What, how much is in there? What is owed to the people of this country, or maybe people in other countries? But
you know, well, I don't think it has anything to do with people. They only, the Federal Reserve Act was for the United States of America.
And they don't have, you sure they don't have their hand in goings on in other places?
Well, they may have, but I, you know, it's enough for me to keep up with myself to keep up with certain things. You know, that's why I come, you know, me personally, I'm good at ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the history that went on, like in the 1700s and so forth like that, you know, that's just not my cup of tea. History that goes on down in South America, that's not my cup of tea. I mean, one person can't.
Let me ask you this question then. So you just said you know a little bit about ancient, you know, something about ancient history. Can you go ahead and tell me which one of, which African society, what kind of banking systems were African societies using?
Well.
Or did they need one?
Well, people were paid for work that they'd done, you know, and there was a trading system. They had coinage. And it was, I guess you could say that the coinage, the value of the coin was based on what people stated that it was, what it would take to buy this and buy that. And that's how they set the value of it. I mean, one coin, whatever denomination it was, would get you X number pieces of loaves of bread. Then the guy that made the bread would be able to take X number of coins and buy fish or buy produce. So at sooner or later, society itself will reach a happy medium where things just work.
Things just work?
Correct.
Mm. I don't know about...
In West Africa, they're using cowrie shells for a long time. You know, you had to apply so much work to accumulate so many cowrie shells. And for that work, what could you buy? What could you attain in trade? In food, in clothes. You know, you didn't have no automobiles to buy. You didn't have no VCRs and no DVDs and no laptops and no iPads, a smartphone. So,
it but they was, call that progress, though.
Well,
and they got the, you know, the banking system to back up the so-called progress, right?
Well, that's a whole different story there, Rob. Whole different story.
313, your line is open.
No, I'm just listening. I ain't got nothing to say much.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Okay. Put you back on hold. Let me take a quick break here, brother.
Well, the first rule to disco definition is there are no rules to disco definition.
Check it out. Disco definition, volume 3. And I'm DJ Peace.
Hello. Hello. Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. Here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm talking here with my brother Pianchi. Brother Pianchi, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, I was reading something here about the Federal Reserve System. It's the central banking system of the United States. It was created on December 23rd, 1913, with the enactment of the Federal Reserve Act. Largely responsible for a series of financial panics, particularly in a severe panic in 1907. Over time, the roles and responsibilities of the Federal Reserve System have expanded, and its structure has evolved. Events such as the Great Depression were major factors leading to the changes in the system. Did you get that?
Well, it was two panics. It was in both of them. Well, the second panic, they say, was artificially produced. And Congress wanted to set up the National Monetary Commission.
Mm-hmm.
With the, oh, by the way, that guy's name was, come to my mind, was Nelson Aldrich, who was a senator, who was at his head at that time. But once you'd go back and look at, like, President Lincoln, how he was contemplating on financing the Civil War, and he, you know,
brother, you're breaking
United,
up.
United States was broke at that time. Congressman was missing payments, and I mean, not receiving their pay.
Well, Lincoln, I don't see no wrong with that today. A lot of them's filthy rich, but go ahead.
Lincoln went to the bankers, and they wanted to charge him 28%, 30% interest. He said, "To hell with that." So he did the right thing. He started printing up his own money. They called them greenbacks.
Mm.
And some people say that's probably what got him killed.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look through the deaths of presidents, you see that they have some sort of relative opinion on the banking system. You know, whether it was Lincoln, or Kennedy, and I think there's another person along the line in there. You know, the thing about the boy, you know, there's 12 banks, 12 Federal Reserve banks, and it's the banks that choose the board of directors, which basically operate the system. The president of the United States chooses the head, like Bernanke is now. But it's the board of directors that makes the, you know, do the calls and so forth. And what your president do is just nothing more than, I guess you can say, just he's going through a symbolic gesture.
Let me read a little bit more here. It says, the Congress established three key objectives for monetary policy: maximum employment, stable prices, moderate long-term interest rates in the Federal Reserve Act. The first two objectives are sometimes referred to as the Federal Reserve dual mandate. Its duties have expanded over the years, and today, according to an official Federal Reserve documentation, including conducting the nation's monetary policy, supervising and regulating banking institutions, maintaining the stability of the financial system, and providing financial services to depository institutions. The U.S. government and foreign official institutions. The Fed also conducts research into the economy, releases numerous publications such as the Beige Book. You know what, man? I told you. I think they have some hand extended overseas in foreign banks.
Well, they do. When you look at the Bank of England, there's an inner connection that lies with them. You know, you had Henry Schroeder banking company back there in the Hitler days. I mean, that's a whole different, that's a whole nother program. Hitler and Schroeder and Wilhelm Hein and so on and so on and so on. I mean, it gets really I mean, it really gets deep. It's like an adventure story.
Yeah, see, that's why when I saw that Goldsmith tale, a light went off in me, man. Like, this is one big scam. That just reinforced it, just one big scam. You don't think so?
No, I think it is. You know, like I say, if people need to do their studying. I mean, study, but what I'm saying, when you study, just don't go back to there. Go all the way back to Thomas Jefferson and listen to the things that he said, his displeasure about central banking. Look how Hamilton was in favor of central banking. Funny thing that Hamilton and Aaron Burr, I believe it was in a duel, and I think Hamilton got killed. Hamilton and Jefferson didn't get along too well because of that. Then come up into the time of the Civil War with Lincoln and see what Lincoln was, how he was trying to avoid using those bankers and when he tried to raise money for the Civil War.
Let me throw this one at you. It says, according to the Board of Governors, the Federal Reserve is independent within government in that its monetary policy decisions do not have to be approved by the president or anyone else in executive or legislative branches. Its authority is derived from the statutes enacted by the U.S. Congress, and the system is subject to congressional oversight. The members of the Board of Governors include its chairman, vice chairman, are chosen by president and confirmed by the Senate. The government also exercises some control over the Federal Reserve by appointing and setting salaries of the system's highest level employees. Thus, the Federal Reserve has both private and public aspects. The U.S. government receives all of the system's annual profits after statutory dividend of 6% on member banks' capital investment is paid. And an account surplus is maintained. In 2010, the Federal Reserve made a profit of $82 billion and transferred $79 billion to the U.S. Treasury. This followed the end of the 2011 with the transfer of $77 billion in profits to the United States Treasury Department.
Well, what you got to need to also...
$3 billion, man. How many people are within this system? That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it's a lot more today, Rob. We're talking about, like I said before.
But these numbers came from 2010 and 2011.
Well, what is the U.S. debt? The U.S. debt is, what, $16 trillion? So what's the interest on... Well, let's put it like this. Reagan borrowed from the Social Security Trust Fund back in 1983, 1982, 1983. What, about $700 billion? And that was they issued a bond, a 30-year bond on that. And 1983 plus 30 is what? 1982 plus 30 is what?
That's, I wasn't doing the math. Go ahead and say that numbers again.
1982 plus 30 years for a treasury bond. That bond is due when? 1982 plus 30 years takes you to where?
That's about now, ain't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's about now, the end of this year. At the end of this year, I think that they got to come up with $2.5 trillion on an $800 billion loan at 16% interest. Who gets all that interest? Who gets all the interest on the $16 trillion in U.S. debt that accumulates about $225 billion in 2011? Then another thing, too, is the fractional banking, Rob. Do you own your own home? You buying your home?
Yeah.
Okay, when you close that home, you sign those paperwork, and one of them was a promissory note, right?
Right.
And that promissory note was basically your promise to pay.
Right.
And what structured that promissory note was your good credit that you had accumulated and demonstrated for a number of years. So when you signed that promissory note, that institution that that received it could go to the Federal Reserve, and your $100,000 that you borrowed for your house, now they can go to the Federal Reserve and borrow nine times that amount based on your goodwill to pay.
$225,000. Yeah, that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy, man. Hold on a minute. I got another caller, man. 224. My favorite barber.
Yeah, this is Ken. How you doing, Rob?
That's Ken. What's up, Ken? How you doing, man?
What's going on, my brother? I am really well. An interesting topic that you have tonight, now that I've taken on a position as an auditor.
What you auditing, Ken?
Well, I can't name the financial institution, but it's in the top eight in the United States.
Are they ripping us off too, Ken?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Are they ripping us off too, Ken? Tell me about it.
Well, you know I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No. Let me keep it real because that's what I do. I try to keep it real. This isn't along the lines of them ripping you off. It is more along the lines of them being completely incompetent to be responsible for infrastructure, meaning accountability. Meaning if you purchased items, you know, for your, you know, because a bank is a business, a financial institution is a corporation. So if you purchase items for your corporation, knowing that times are changing and you always got to update those things and maintain a high level of security, then you tell people you're spending that on security. But when the money doesn't come up on security, then you have to answer for where is the money and what did you do with it?
Where's the money? That's always been my question. You see money going, I keep seeing all these big numbers flash, but where the money at?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're living here in Chicago, man, and you know. Where's the money? And you see these neighborhoods messed up. You see these kids out here hurting each other. You see adults out here ain't got nothing else to do but hurt each other. And, you know, where's the money? That money should be going into a lot of these schools. And then you just constantly see that we go ahead and get in the short end of the stick.
Well, if you want to see the money, you need to go to the nearest marina and look for the newest boats and yachts that happen. Because some people went from a 20-footer to a 60-footer. Without any questions being asked. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my goodness, man. Let me
now you gotta enjoy an institution or an industry that promotes giving each other raises unjustifiably.
Man, I need that. Vote my own raise. Don't that sound good?
In some regards, it's kind of like being a congressman. You know, you can be elected to a couple terms, but it don't mean you got to actually go to work and vote. You know what I mean? So, and they're still getting raises and increases and a lifetime pension, but it doesn't necessarily mean. I'll give you an example: the gentleman who just joined the ticket on the I believe on a political party side, probably I think he has a 13-year record and probably had two votes that he was really instrumental in getting through. The thing that disturbs me is how can you be somewhere for 13 years and only do two pieces of work?
Paul Ryan.
I didn't want to say no names, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm sitting up here looking at it now, and this is scandalous. How y'all doing?
How you doing, Tim? I'm glad you called in, man. I got a bone pick with you. I'm going to call you later.
You've been texting me. I'm trying to see what all these messages is. I found his notices. But look,
I'm
watching the Republican name right now, and I want to tell you about this Paul Ryan guy. Now, you know, anybody that know about Wisconsin know what goes on in Wisconsin. Now, Paul Ryan comes from Janesville, born and raised in Janesville. Them are the most racist, redneck people up there. I mean, they is hateful. I've been through that several occasions, and we didn't even want to stop for gas. You don't want to eat their food. They don't like black people in that town. I'm telling you.
But hold on, Jerry. But that Paul Ryan's rich.
Yeah, he's
okay,
rich.
He comes from a rich background. Paul Ryan's rich, and I didn't know that. I didn't know that till just recently. So Paul Ryan's rich. A lot of the stuff he's defending the rich people. So when he coming from that town, how did the town look? Did it reflect that Paul Ryan came from that town, or it looked like a little hick town?
Oh man, Janesville.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's nice. It's a beautiful place. It's
mm-hmm.
beautiful, but they don't like black people. They don't like Mexicans either. They don't like nobody that's different from them. If you're not white, you ain't right in that town. And if you're not white, get back. If you're not white, get down and eat the dirt, because you ain't getting nothing out of Janesville. I'm telling you. And they when you go up in them gas stations or go up in them stores trying to get something, they don't even want to take the money out of your hand. You got to take the money and just throw it on the counter. And if they do take it, they take your money when they give you change and throw it on the damn counter like you're a dog.
Let me ask you a quick question, though. The when you went through that town, I know you were going ahead and watching out because of that racial element there, but did you notice what kind of banks were there? Were there some like the top banks there? You know, UBS and some of these others?
You got U.S. Bank, and you got Wells and Fargo. And you got Bank One. And U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank, so y'all looking at Chase, but U.S. Bank and Wells and Fargo, shooters, they all partners, man. They all partners. And you
so
know,
they up there going here. They know what's going on with this whole Federal Reserve thing, and it just benefits.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that money that the Federal Reserve is supposed to be is holding on to, it just bleeds some kind of siphon off to them.
What's the name of that town he's from?
Janesville, Wisconsin, born and raised. And anybody that knows about Wisconsin know that Janesville is one of the most headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. They ain't nothing but Klan.
Mm.
Ain't nothing but Klan and skinheads. And the deeper you go into Wisconsin, the more you see Ku Klux Klans and skinheads. Rednecks coming. Now, I told y'all there wasn't going to be no easy election. I told y'all this 4 years ago when President Obama won. I told y'all this is going to be a knockdown. But this race right here, this one right here now, is going to be left up to the American people. Because if you want these rich and wealthy people to, like right now, they sitting up here right now on Channel 5 talking all this big old highfalutin stuff. He talking about how his family come out of Mexico. They were dirt poor and they had to eat slop and all that. Yeah, but mighty funny, your family rose up and they did whatever they could to make it to the big wheel. They made themselves filthy rich. It was eat dog, eat dog. And he talking about, well, you done lost your jobs for making $22 an hour. Now you got to get two jobs that's making at least $10 an hour on two jobs so you can get your $22 an hour job back, but you got to work two jobs. Hell, we've been doing that.
Yeah, you know, this was all part of another part of my topic here, man. Was hey, look, looking at let's examine a little bit more about the banking system, about how money works. You know, money is fake, but and in order for us to go ahead and look at what's going on, we're trying to rely on at least politicians that they put in office. But I just don't get the part where a lot of people seem to think another rich guy can go ahead and help your situation. Now, when he has all that information about the fake money, the Federal Reserve, what they're doing with the cash, and how much cash they're passing around. Stop electing these dudes. I just don't get how, I don't get it. And these people want to go ahead and get a person like Paul Ryan. They're voting against their own interests.
Paul Ryan and this Mitt Romney, and what's so killing about it, I want to see just how educated the American people are, or just how dumb they are come November the 6th. Because Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney, the first thing they say they're going to do when they get into office is repeal the health care bill. That's the first thing they're going to do.
That's madness. Hold on, Jerry. Let me just take this other caller. Is this my barber?
Yeah.
Hey, Justin?
Yeah, what's going on, Ross?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
I was trying to go ahead and hold that part for you, but I want you to go ahead and, because you saw that video more than I did, that Goldsmith tale. Go ahead and tell
Goldsmith.
Yeah, tell them what you saw. Tell them what you saw.
Well, my whole understanding of the video was basically the people, the Goldsmith basically gave a promise to the people that he can keep their money safe in his bank. The people deposited their money. And what he found out, he found like...
They deposited their gold.
Right, you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah, they go, and he actually ended up loaning out those deposits to people, and as long as with loaning it out with interest, and as long as those people was paying on their loans, he still had the people's money that made the deposits. So, in the, you know, in the end, right, the money that he was loaning out never really existed, which is the monetary policy, or you know, the monetary policy that we run today in America. And, which keeps us economic slaves because we're chasing the whole illusion of money. Money is non-existent, truthfully, and we continue to get sucked in every day. So,
well, it was a little bit more complicated than that. What he did, what he done is that he provided a safe place for people to keep their gold, rather than, and he would give them certificates. If so, if you took in $100 worth of gold, he would give you $100 worth of certificate. So, because gold was cumbersome to be carrying around, so what Goldsmith figured out, say, oh, this is a good idea I got here. I only got $500 worth of gold here. I got $500 worth of certificates out there. Why don't I just issue $500 more worth of certificates, even though I don't have the gold to back it?
So, yes, right.
Yeah, that's what he done.
Right, I know it was more complicated, but you know the point of it was just I was saying like, you know, it was all he never really had that money to back, you know, to back up. He never had the backing to loan that money out in the first place, which is the same thing the American government is doing to us. You know what I'm saying? And it's in the end, it's economic slavery. You know what I mean? It's you got us chasing something that's not really even there. And it's crazy. That's all. It's, you know, it don't really make a lot of sense.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, you know, the value of money is agreement that people make. Is all it is. You know, people. It's overall agreement that is made. The value of dollar bill is based on the goodwill and the faith of the United States government. And the same thing with other countries. Although some countries do have gold to back up their money. Just look at the unfunded liabilities of this country, which is about $118 trillion. Well, hell, it ain't that much gold in the world.
Right. So they had I mean, but the
system that they have now.
I mean, buddy. I mean, you said. Wait, how you say that again? You said it was faith between. You got to have faith between two people.
Well, yeah, it's an agreement. It's basically what it is. I mean, the countries came together
right,
in the world.
What type of agreement is it when it's all a scam? Like it's only going to benefit the people that's issuing out the money. You know what I'm saying?
If you look at your dollar bill, it says on there that it's used for legal tender. For you to be able
right.
to go out and purchase something and exchange that tangible thing for money, then it has to be agreed upon that this is the way we're going to go about doing it. This is the standard. This is the this is the value worth, and that's what we have.
Right. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Now I understand that. Okay, but at the same time, now this money I'm making just to say if I go and I entrust in y'all banks and I start saving my money in these banks and I got so many thousand dollars in these banks, and us knowing that this world is coming to, America is basically coming to a halt in a second, you know what I'm saying? When the stock market crashes and everything falls down, that money no longer exists. You know what I'm saying? And ain't nobody can go to their bank account. Nobody can go to their bank account. The money in their pocket, they can't use or nothing else. So, you know,
but the money exists because the money is insured by the FDIC. But what you're trying to say, you know how you can tell when your money is not worth nothing no more? Stand in the crowd, take it out of your pocket, and throw it on the ground. If nobody picks it up, then you know it ain't worth nothing.
That might be a true statement.
Okay, I get that. But your money worth something though. But it does have that illusional effect on a lot of people that we think it's a lot more than what it's really worth. See what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. And people need to see the reality of it. It's really not worth nothing. You know what I'm saying? But we chasing it, and then our mind is stuck on steady chasing money. Everything. What I've learned already is everything can't be about money, though. You know what I'm saying? Some things just got to be for a cause.
Now, what the rich do, they take their money out of the country and move it to someplace else. I mean, they've done that in Germany. Matter of fact, they're doing it here. These runs on the bank. They weren't runs on the bank, but these bank bailouts. Anytime you have Obama is a banker's man. Anytime you have bailouts of banks in the United States and also have bailouts, provide money for bailouts and banks in Europe, and they're owned by the same people, well, something's going on in that picture.
Right.
So what they're doing, they're just running. They're just robbing. It's like a fire sale, but everybody ain't invited. Only certain people are invited. Just like what went on in Spain where they provided that money. What do they call that? Bailout, when they bailed out Spain. Well, that money, well, people just, those in the know was just, a lump sum of cash was made for them to say, well, here's what we, and it was passed around then, because they talking about Spain needs more money. So it's just like a fire sale. Everybody's getting their money and taking off with it. You know, here in St. Louis, a group of activists wanted to go into Bank of America and take their money out, but they weren't allowed to do so. You remember that picture, remember that movie, A Wonderful Life, or something like that? That was based on that.
Everybody's line is open. I hear people hitting the buttons.
Yeah, what was that? It's A Wonderful Life. When everybody went in and got their money out of the bank, and when the bank closed, I think he had, a dollar left or something like that? The bank was still solvent. But what happens if you go to get your money, and they say, well, we don't have it. That's when the crap hit the fan.
The money, like they say, money is the root of all evil. And I tell you one thing, these rich folks, they get into politics so they can control everything that goes on. If you notice, all these politicians that get in there, their families is wealthy. A lot of them in there is living off of old money. See, wealth is, when you got wealth, that's different than having a whole lot of money. Wealth and power. Once you got that, well, when you got total absolute power, God dog, it ain't nothing you can do. You can move the crowd. Like I told y'all, these jobs, it was a conspiracy. Like this fool going to get up here last night talking about the wealth. I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin, and my name is Paul Ryan, and the GM thing up in Wisconsin and Janesville closed down because President Obama let it fail. Well, that's in your district, Paul Ryan. That was your district that the GM failed and it closed. So they did all this. This is a teaching. You got to understand, these is what they don't like is that the fact that things are going. When that health care bill passed, they got pissed because, for one, that's billions and trillions of dollars that they got to put towards the American people, each individual. We millions of dollars to keep us healthy, to make us our children and grandchildren and so on be born healthy and live longer lives.
Hold on, Jerry. Hold on, Jerry. You know, you was just what you just said about putting money toward the American people. I want y'all to all go ahead and chime in on this real quick.
Oh, there you go with that.
The thing that really, really bugged me when they first talked about the bailouts and stuff is I just didn't understand how the government, taxpayers' dollars, is supposed to go to the banks. It went to the banks. I didn't understand why the money didn't go to every person who paid taxes in America. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think that money shouldn't have went toward the banks. It should have went, and the banks ain't going ahead and lending it like they were saying, helping go ahead and keep the economy going. No, they sitting on lots of money. So why didn't they go ahead and cut a check for everybody in America? Can anybody answer that or go ahead and give me some thoughts on that?
They'll never do that. If they was to cut a check for everybody in America, all these banks would be broke. If they was to cut a check for all the black people in America from us being our ancestors being their slaves, they would be broke. This country would be broke. So they never.
Well, they're crying broke now, Jerry. When I go here and I hear politicians say the country's broke, but hell, you still getting a paycheck. You still getting all the benefits of going here and being a politician. You know,
that's right.
Training and everything. So if the country broke, your ass shouldn't be getting paid.
Right. Now, these congressmen and these senators, I think the congressmen and women get like almost $200,000 a year, and the congress people get about $300,000 a year.
Wait a minute. But then you go ahead, you just ran down what they're getting. You know, that's a federal paycheck. I'm looking at it this way. The money that they're getting when they file their taxes, it's in the millions.
Yeah.
So it looks like they ain't even cashing them crumbs they're getting from the federal government because they're going to keep on stealing your money with their insider trading, with the benefits they get from the lobbyists and other little under the table stuff, man. Come on, man.
Okay.
This is a big scam.
Rob, okay. Say you was a multi-billionaire. Let's say you was a multi-billionaire, and all of us only online, where we are, all of us in the room, we are multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires. Now, we all, this is our secret mind. Now, tomorrow, Brother Rob and Sister Antoinette from Delaware is going to go in and introduce a bill that's going to help us get more money. Now, we're the only ones who know about this because we are rich. The multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires, we the only ones going to put this bill forward. And we're going to, you two going to go in because y'all rich and y'all got, you know, connections in the House and in the Senate. Y'all going to go and submit the bill to them and tell them pass it. Pass it through and we'll get it on through to the president, whatever president, and they're going to sign it. Because this is going to continue to line our pockets and yours too as well. Now, Brother Rob and Sister Anthony and everybody online, everybody in the chat room, just imagine. Now, we got a show here about fraud and illusion. Now, just imagine. I understand it's about fraud and illusion. Well, lose this. Dream this. All of us is filthy rich, and we putting forth some bills. Just say we can put forth bills that's really going to help not just some people, but everybody. Now, we, by us being filthy, filthy rich, we can afford to help all people instead of some people, instead of no people at all. See, that's what these rich folks plan. That's what they've been doing, and they've been doing it for decades and decades. It's dog eat dog. It's nothing about trying to help. I don't care how many times they get up there and give all these long, big, dramatic speeches and long, big words and all that crap. At the end of the day, it don't mean crap. It don't mean nothing because they already got their agenda. I'm telling you. They already got their agenda. They already passed bills they already got bills sitting up for the past 4 years. Republican Party got stacks and stacks of bills all ready to be pushed through and signed. So if we want to sit here and continue to, you know, yeah, we like the brother said, when the man said he had $500 worth of gold, so he started making $500 worth of more tickets or $1,000 more tickets or $2,000 or $3,000. He created an illusion. But then what he did with the bank is this. He took your $500, Rob, my $500, and snatched your $500, everybody in the room, all y'all $500, and he made millions off of by putting y'all money up as collateral. Then what he turned around and did was said, okay, since I used your 500, your 500, your 500, I'll give you a percentage of what I just made. Now, ain't none of your goddamn business about what I done made, but I made $50,000 off of all y'all money. So here goes $1,000 a piece for each one of y'all. He didn't say 50 million, he said 50,000. He didn't say 50 million, he said 50,000. So that makes you feel, oh, well, he didn't make that much. He only made $50,000. All the time, he done made $50 million off of all of our money being in the bank. See, and so that's an illusion right there in itself. You know, yeah, we, and then what's talking about when we say, why all the money goes to the banks? Because, for one, this now, the banks one time, you know, they, when they got started, they really wasn't about nothing. Everybody was putting their money in the houses, or you know, in their mattresses, or making a hole out there in the house somewhere and putting it in the ground. Then they started making these banks. Okay. Then when they did that there, guess who got all that? These rich folks. They started to say, oh, well, this is a good deal here. If we can get this bank.
So what you just said for me is that America is just based on greed.
America is based off what's called debit financing. And
yeah.
To get back to what Jerry was talking about, I like listening to Jerry too. But let me give you an example. You remember when Maxine Waters was going to be investigated, going to be brought to the floor because she influenced a bank where her husband had money, influenced that they could
That's
be
right.
able to receive stimulus money. You remember that?
Yeah.
Right. So that stimulus money went to banks to help get them out of the dire situation they was in. But hell, Congress people had money in these banks that was having these problems. So stimulus money went to the banks that permitted them to get their cash out and put it someplace else. That's why come nothing further was said about Maxine Waters, because
yes.
Congress members are doing the very same thing that they benefited from the very same thing that she was trying to get done to the bank where her husband had money at.
Was it illegal?
No, it wasn't illegal because people would be in jail. But what is legal is something that you and I, as a normal person, just don't participate in because they can't.
That's right. But you got a lot of people here that their situation is in dire straits. And we it's hard to go in and say what they should do and what they're supposed to do. But I just think that it's way beyond time that you go in and you get out there and start letting people know that, hey, something's messed up. It's a lot of people in dire straits at this moment. And I just don't understand how that money, that stimulus money, TARP money, whatever you want to call it, that money went to the banks. And what I'm saying is the money going to the banks, if you're going to go here to the majority of the people here, it somehow it's going to make it to the banks anyway. So why not go ahead and put that money to that kind of use, put the money in the people's hands so they can go ahead and help with the economy. What will happen, because America, to me, is based off greed, and the rich folks are go ahead controlling a whole lot of stuff, and I just don't understand why people go ahead and elect another rich motherfucker, elect another rich person to put in office. That's sick.
Well, it's sad, Rob. You're right about that. Okay, now let's go back to the banks. If the stimulus money would have never if the stimulus money would have never went to the banks, then the banks would have called in their doggone IOU. They'd have said, okay, we got to go under. Y'all owe us this. But see, you got to understand one thing. A lot of these banks in America are not not USA owned. A lot of these banks are owned by foreigners that
Even though they're owned by foreigners, don't they still have to go ahead and abide by the regulations and rules that they have here?
No, they don't, because it's different. They got to understand. You know what I learned? My cousin has come back from the you've been in the service too, Rob. My cousin has got come back from the service, and he told me, I said, man, how you doing up in there? He said, man, so-and-so. But anyway, he said, you know what, Jerry? I said, what? He said, now you out here with this, you know, civil law, with this, you know, because y'all civilians. You out here with this civilian law. He said, but when I was in the service, I'm on the service law. He said, one thing about being in the service is that we can kill your ass at the end, let it say it's done, if we are worth something to the service or to the military. I think what he said, or if you is feeling that they feel that you can't be trusted, then they go ahead on and kill you off and nothing be said about that neither. I said, what? He said, that's military law. See, it's different standards for different people. You know, so we got to understand it's different standards for the banks. If the banks would have never got that money, and all these people got their 401ks, their retirement, and this fellow in the room said, we corporate slaves. We get from birth. Yes, we are. And if we're going to continue to be like this goddamn Mitt Romney and this Paul Ryan go up in there, because that's what they're going for. They're going to put a cap on all this. They're going to stop everything. But they ain't going to stop the banks. They already said that the jobs and the tax cuts need to continue to go to the wealth of the people on the earth. And the jobs and the tax cuts need to go to the job creators and all that. Well, what a job creator that? Since all the doggone jobs is going overseas. This is true.
That's what I'm saying. Well, agreed. And here, that thing in the military is called a UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
That's
now,
right.
All these the money is going, and this is the taxpayer dollars. Okay, and when I go ahead and hear these individuals talk about
the
creator,
we don't have no list. We don't rob. That's why I tell everybody: where is the list that tells us where is our taxes going? I worked on a job for a long time. I used to always get my taxes. Some of my list saying, my letter saying, you know, on my check saying, well, we got to take so much off of Social Security. But it didn't tell me anything about where was my tax money going. It didn't tell me where it was going for school, where it was going for housing, whether it was going for new building of water fountain, where we're going to go put some shit over there in that corner, where we're going to go kill some roaches over there in that corner, you know, where we're going to go get to buy some cement over here. You know, it don't never tell us where our money going, so we always say, oh, our tax dollars. You ain't got no damn tax dollars. They making us build all this shit with our own money.
So you looking for a balance sheet.
Well, federal dollars not used in your school.
You understand?
Like that.
We putting it in the pot. They ain't putting nothing in the pot. All they doing is taking.
That's what I agree. I didn't say nothing. I disagree with that.
And you know about that military stuff. I didn't know they do all that stuff in that. Man, they said that you a weakling, they would kill you. They'd take you out there and kill you. I said, what does the man is? He's a lot of stuff I can talk about, but I can't talk about unless I'm dead or getting ready to die. I said, what does the man believe? There's a lot of stuff I can say, but I can't say it now unless I'm getting ready to die. I said, damn. He said, I'm telling you, if they feel that you're weak and you can't stand on your ground, they will take you out there and kill you.
You're breaking some rules then. Maybe you can go ahead and probably get somebody else killed. That's probably what. Look, the whole thing, like I said, the thing is a farce. Okay, and then the Mitt Romney is super filthy rich. And he's got that money, just like you were saying a little while ago, Brother Pianchi. He's got a lot of money overseas. And so
Jerry just said maybe think about something else.
So
it ain't nothing wrong with you having money overseas.
No, I ain't got no problem with that. No, this
and Mitt Romney being rich, it's nothing wrong with that. The man made
his money. I ain't got no problem with that. My thing is that, you know, he's saying he's trying to pretend he's a patriotic American and all that crap.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm a disabled vet. Okay, I got hurt. Go ahead, serving in this country, and I ain't getting none of these quirks that this guy's doing. But here's my point. The thing is that he's got that money in overseas banks. Is he getting even extra money because some of them banks overseas got banks over here? They got offices over here.
Let me ask you something. What do Bank of America pay you for money in a savings account? How much interest?
Oh man, I think it's like about 2 or 3%.
All right, now. The Bank of Ghana pays you about 23% for its treasury bills. So where would you put your money?
Yeah, I know you showed me that once.
I mean, the reason why come people who have money because they do wise things with it. They ain't going to throw it on the ground and see if it's worth anything based on who jumps on it first or nobody just ignores. But the whole thing about the money system is you can't explain that in no one program. You got to do a lot of studying on that. I mean, a lot of things goes on there where you at with the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. They print out a publication called Money Mechanics. I would advise you to read that. It would help give you an insight on how all this works.
You know,
gold,
back to something
dollars,
there,
and power
money is going. You know, where that money is going, even at the federal level, you know, state, whatever, where that money is going. And here, when these schools are underfunded, I just don't understand how these politicians can justify their job, how they can go ahead and justify going ahead and accepting that their paychecks, and even go ahead and talk about what they can do better for the economy. You got individuals talking about wiping out the Department of Education.
The schools.
I don't hear the plan to go ahead and put something in place.
Yeah, but hang
so
on.
So now it's about time to go ahead and tell me what the hell you've been doing with the money since you it's a big push to go ahead and wipe out the Department of Education.
Yeah, but schools are funded by the state. They're not funded by the federal government. Only way they're funded by the federal government is if a school district get involved in some entitlement program, which, you know, like Title I, Title IX, and so on like that. Title I is where they provide the federal government would pay a school district money toward providing free and reduced lunches for students. But as far as the maintenance and the upkeep of the building and the ability for buildings to stay open, the federal government has nothing at all to do with that.
But the school systems do get allocated some money from the federal government now.
The school system gets money from the state or the local government.
And then a lot of times they get got the money indirectly. Okay, so the money federal money came to the state and the state sent it out. Ain't that right?
Oh, federal.
Yes.
State get. Look, we got some of our best school districts here in my area. Is for instance Clayton and Ladue. The amount of money, when you look at how their money is distributed, and I saw where it comes from, they get like 98% of their operating, 98% of each dollar comes from the local community. You might get a 1% from the state and maybe nothing from 2% from the state, nothing from the federal government, something along those lines. But your public schools in the inner city, because of the way they go about funding them, the formula, just the public schools in the inner city may, in this area, gets like 30-some-odd% from the state. It may get like 18% from the federal government. Then the rest of it comes from the local community, from taxes and so forth.
Yeah, but they, you know, I keep telling y'all, we keep talking about taxes. Do we know where our tax money is? Well, you know, my friend just died, George Downstairs. And, you know, her husband died before her. She lived long enough to get some of his money. The man that worked over 25 years of his life, or 30, for about 25 years of his life. Let's put it like that. But now both of them gone. Where's the rest of the money that they worked in? Where the rest of that money gonna go now? Where the rest of that money going? Is it going?
That's a good question.
Where's it going? Where is that money going? Now, she dead. She gone. She only got about $300,000 of her money. Then the other, her brother, he working, but he told me he retired, brother. And he pulled his Social Security thing down. He had $550,000 up there. And because he's been working since he was like 13, 14 years old, like way back in the day. So when he dropped dead, where the rest of his money going to go?
I'm taking a stab at this, but the money is in the system somewhere. Exactly where, I don't know. I always thought it was going toward, it was sticking to like a Social Security program or something like that. And I think the next of kin could probably go ahead and collect some of that.
How do you think these kids getting paid, taken care of? That's
right.
These fathers, these kids that these women are taking care of, these mothers out, these single mothers that whose fathers go out and get killed. However, they get that SSI. That's part of that money. So people that live a long time can collect more than they ever put in. But then again, on the other hand, you have people that retired yesterday and dead today. They don't get any of the money that they put in for the last 40 years, so they sit at that balance itself out.
They don't get a dime.
Huh?
So where did the money go? Well, see, let's figure this out about SSI. Now,
but the money's, and you're dealing with SSI, and the money's written, and you get that check, or you got direct deposit. It's a paper there somewhere. It's a bank attached to that.
No, if you get an SSI and your ass die, your kids ain't getting a dime.
But what I'm saying is that money is still in a bank somewhere.
No, SSI is different from Social Security. See,
either way it goes, that money's still in a bank, right?
Yeah, but no, wait a minute. SSI and SSA is two different products. SSI is something to give you for being disabled and cannot work, or born with a birth defect and cannot work, and so they give you that. But SSA is something that you didn't work for all, that you didn't put into the system and work for all your life. So if you die and you got children that's under age of 18, then they get the check until they're about 21. And after that, they help put them through college for about 4 years, longer they get before they get 21, they have to go through college. But after that, if you ain't got no kids under the age of 18 and they over the age of 21, they not going to get that. That money is gone. Period. Point blank.
Yeah.
No. You done lost it. So when you drop dead, like, she got kids, she got a son. And he can't get none of her money no more. It's all gone.
Yeah. No, Rob, I was listening. I might sound a little crazy or whatever, but, you know, I didn't read up on some stuff. SSI is supposedly the payment, they pay you SSI for the economic enslavement of your future generations. SSI is not like some check they give you because you disabled and all this other crap. It's a whole garbage scam. The federal, I mean, as far as the federal go and the funding of the money and everything like that, the end to America is any type of the tax problems and whatever problems we have as far as taxes go, you got to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, first off, because that's where your taxes are. The Federal Reserve Bank is the biggest scam America ever came up with, and it was implemented back in the 1900s with Thomas Jefferson himself abolished. In 1913, they brought it back, and by 1930, it crashed. You know what I'm saying? The whole economy crashed, which we all know about the Great Depression. Okay? They put it right back in, and we're still going through the same thing again, except it's just taking a longer time to crash. I mean, and you just got to get rid of the whole Federal Reserve, in my honest opinion. Social Security, all that stuff comes from the Federal Reserve. It's all bullshit. It ain't.
Social Security don't come from the Federal Reserve.
No. And Federal Reserve, you ain't going to never get rid of that. You're not
Federal, Social Security is the money taken out of your a FICA portion of your wages. And I think it amounts to like 13-point-some-odd% of you. On Social Security, you pay half of it, the employer pays half of it.
Yeah, but it took the Federal Reserve to implement Social Security.
No, the Social Security Trust. Social Security is implemented by the Social Security Trust Act.
Yeah, but it varies by state, because some states get $2,000-$3,000 or more for SSI. Like here in Illinois, some people in Illinois get $698, some get $498, some get $1,000 a month on the first of the month. Some do. And then on the third of the month, people that have worked all their lives, they get about $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, $5,000. They get some money. But I'm just saying, you come up with them as an illusion. The Federal Reserve need to go, but this money with SSI and Social Security, it varies by the states. It's not the same in every state. Some states get cheaper than that, less than that.
Well, the Federal Reserve needs to go is because this country, I mean, the Congress, they would create debt, then they would print money up to apply to the debt. So, for instance, suppose let's just say they wanted to build a military base that costs $500 billion. Well, that is the debt the Federal Reserve would authorize, go to the Federal Reserve to borrow the money in a bonds or whatever. The Federal Reserve turn around and tell the U.S. Treasury, print up $500 billion, and we'll lend it to the government with interest. It's that interest that you're paying, that interest that you're paying to these private bankers that's kicking your butt because, as I said before, in 2011, that interest was like $225 billion. Now,
okay,
Jerry, if your daughter comes to you to borrow $1,000, are you going to charge her interest?
But I mean, but at the
if
time,
your daughter,
the government
don't. Well, wait a minute, let me get this point across real quick. Jerry, if your daughter comes to you to borrow $1,000, are you going to charge her interest? No.
No.
So why does the why not let the Federal Reserve, and I mean let the U.S. Treasury print up the money, and the Treasury is not going to charge the U.S. citizen no interest? You'd be saving yourself that $225 billion a year and get rid of them scoundrels.
But that's the point about it. They don't want to, the Federal Reserve and everything has its place the way it's been set up by these people. You know, they went all the way back the other day and found out that all these former, all these founding, so-called founding fathers, every last one of these former presidents, George Washington, all of them, were number slave owners.
Well, here's where the point is, where this is how I think this is going to happen. You got countries, you got like 28 countries that's going to get away from the U.S. dollar as the reserve trading currency of the world. And I think that's how it's going to happen. These other countries just going to say, the hell with you, we ain't dealing with you no more. One reason, the U.S. cheap. Anytime that you create debt, say we want 500 aircraft carrier, we don't have the money, but we're going to print the money to pay for it, whereas other countries don't do that. They base their money on base what they got. Some countries want to use the resources in their ground, and if that resource is, say, for instance, if you got $1 billion worth of oil in the ground, well, you can print $1 billion worth of currency to take care of the infrastructure needs that you have. So you got countries now that's moving away from using the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world, as a retaliation or whatever you want to call it, but that's what's coming down the pipe. You got like 20-some-odd, almost 30 countries now in the world that went that way, plus the ones down in South America.
Hello, everybody. Everybody still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, okay. Now, you know, what I was saying is, like, you know, the federal, they issue out the money with interest, and you say we're kicking out, you know, they basically kicking their butt trying to pay back the interest, but they never had the original money that they asked the federal loan out, like, whatever money they asked for plus the interest. They don't have that money either. You know what I mean? It was like it was a lose-lose situation anyway.
Well, what the government does is issue bonds. A bond is something that they guarantee that you're going to pay. The people guarantee that. The people guarantee the bond, really. Just like a school district. When a school district want to build a new school, they issue bonds. And you got investors that would go out and take interest in that bond to put up the value of the bond. The bond is guaranteed by the people of the community that the school is going to serve. So the same thing happens with the I know it's kind of complicated, but I'm not the most smartest person on this, but the Treasury issued bonds, which the Federal Reserve holds, and the Federal Reserve say, okay, this is $500,000 worth of bond. Treasury Department print up $500,000 worth of currency, and that's our loan that you're going to have to pay that back plus interest. It's the interest that's killing you. Plus this whole idea that's what we call fractional banking. Like I say, if you buy a house for $100,000 and you sign that loan with ABC Bank, ABC Bank takes that promissory note, which is based on your promise to pay and your credit. They take that to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve would give them $1 million. And you borrowed $100,000. Now, with that $1 million, they got your $100,000, they leave $900,000. They can go out and do that nine more times. And each time that they do it, they can go get 10 times that amount of money, that face value, their promissory note. You see how it keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying? Sooner or later, it's like a balloon. You keep putting air to it, and sooner or later, it's just going to pop.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it don't make sense, do it. That's why it comes so difficult for the average person to even understand it.
Yeah, it ain't never made much sense. I mean, it makes sense that it's helping the individual get a lot richer.
I mean, but it's wild. Just think about that. I mean, what I just described, when I heard it, I said, this is don't make any sense. But that's just, I tell you something else with credit cards. You know, a few years ago, somebody came up with this deal where people that had these credit card debts, it's never have been legal to lend credit. You only can lend cash. So people would go to tell these credit cards, well, show me where money was actually lent toward what you say I owe you. And they can't do it. So people would go into an arbitrator. They sent out these letters. You know, they go through what's called due process to give the credit card company opportunity to answer the demands of the investigation, I guess you can call it, exploration. And if they didn't, then they would go to the arbitrator, and the arbitrator would rule in the credit card holder's favor. They would go to the court and say, Judge, I don't owe this bill. I won arbitration. And the judge would declare the balance, you know, throw it out. You don't owe them. And that went on for a while. You had what was called debt elimination, and you had another thing, I can't think of the name of it, debt consolidation. Debt elimination was that particular scheme. It worked on credit cards. Some people try to do it on house mortgages, but it won't work on that simple reason because of the banks. You could go to a federal judge and probably get a ruling in your favor, but if you go to a elected judge, forget about it because the elected judge is elected. He's got to raise money for his election. Them banks would tear his butt up.
Right.
A federal judge is there for life. He don't have anything over his head.
Right. Okay. I see your point. I can't really.
I know it's, but you know, you seem like you got interest in it. I can tell you what to read. I mean, one thing, you want to get a book called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins. Start off reading that. You can read Gold, Money, and Power. There's The Modern Day of Money Mechanics, which is published by the Chicago Federal Reserve Board. Then on YouTube, there's some YouTube videos on that that's real good.
Let me take a quick break, brothers. All right.
Now to understand the struggle, to understand pain and dues, and the pain of my people, your people, all around the globe. You gotta feel me. It's in the music. Use it.
What you know about juggling jobs? Struggling hard and chasing dreams. What you know about having no car, rent being due and no blaming? What you know about sacrificing all your wants for all your needs? What you know about loving your child just to find out that ain't your
pain?
Dodging them cops to make ends meet. What you know about the life being all? The gas being off and no food to eat.
Down and down.
What you know about Goodwill clothes? Why your friends dress fly in junior high? What you know about grandma's words when she said one day, boy, you gon' shine?
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My joy, my pain.
Follow me button or follow us or follow them. Just follow me around, I guess. You know, we have an interesting discussion here about the Federal Reserve. We all need to go ahead and study up on that because there's a lot that we all don't know. But we all agree on one thing. There's some funny, shady stuff going on. I want to go ahead and shift the focus just a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and deal with this thing that one sister sent me. About Wall Street, do you know that your birth certificate is traded daily on the New York Stock Exchange? And I want to post some of this article in the chat room, but let me try to read some of it first because it's disturbing. My birth certificate is being traded on the open stock market. That's nuts. That's really crazy. Yeah, I'm gonna skip on down to this next paragraph. Okay, so here goes our birth certificate is a security certificate on the New York Stock Exchange. order a new birth certificate should only cost you a few bucks. Look at the bottom. It will say, this is printed on security paper. Do not attempt, if not on full color security paper. You know, he's talking about not printing it. Let me skip on next down to the next paragraph. Then look at the left-hand corner, and you will see a series of imprinted numbers in red. These numbers are a security stock exchange number on the World Stock Exchange. Go to any good stock office and ask them to look up and see how much this stock is worth. And they will check on it in the New York Stock Exchange and find that your name, because we are all worth money on the international, and we're all worth money to the international bank that we bought. And we bought Egypt. This I can't even finish saying all that. My birth certificate is being traded on the stock exchange.
Man, states issue birth certificates. Federal government don't issue no birth certificates.
What's it doing being traded on the stock exchange?
Who said it is? I used to teach stocks and options, advanced options, and I never know it ran across nothing like that. I mean, what would be the logic of it?
I'm not sure.
That's another
like
one
to
of those angel fire things. Your birth certificate, and how about the people that didn't have birth certificates, whether it was recorded in Bibles?
That's I'm good. But you're right. You said the birth certificate is issued by the state and is then registered with the U.S. Department of Commerce, the executive office, especially through their own sub-agency, the U.S. Census Bureau, which is responsible to register the vital statistics from all states. Thus, the birth certificate is registered in international commerce. The word registered, as it is used in common law, does not mean that all capital versions of the name was merely noted or recorded in a book for future reference purposes. When the birth certificate is registered with the U.S. Department of Commerce, the Treasury will issue a bond on the value of the birth certificate. That bond is then made available for purchase on security exchanges and is bought by the Federal Reserve Bank. This purchase then becomes an authority or collateral to issue the Federal Reserve notes, which we are using as a medium of exchange. Get that?
I hear what you're saying, but I don't put any credence to it.
On stuff we need to look at. But it's just the idea of it going ahead, if that is true, okay? Let's give it the benefit of the doubt. That is true. That's some disturbing stuff. Who gave them authorization to do that? And then do we really need that birth certificate? It's more paperwork. But the more disturbing part is the Federal Reserve Bank is involved. You get that? Where do we go from here? Any comments? Questions? Everybody's mic is hot. Still on. All right. I think I'm having a few problems here.
I put in the chat room the contact for, oops, I guess that didn't go. Contact for U.S. Department of Commerce. Somebody want to take it upon themselves tomorrow.
What's the phone number?
To call the U.S. Department of Commerce and tell them you want to check up on your birth certificate. And report back your next show.
Yeah, I see that too.
I mean,
man,
that's just what it is. I mean, if you want to really get to the bottom of it, just do the research yourself, right?
Yeah. I just got it a while ago, so I'm going to do some checking on it. Because for them to go ahead and it's enough, enough's enough. Look, the change coming back. I mean, the physical change, the mental change are there. Need to go ahead and jump on this and see what else is going on. It's already, they already in your business. But the Federal Reserve Bank, again, it's involved in almost every aspect of this country. Is it fake? Is it false? Is it an illusion? Anybody?
Say it again.
The whole thing is fake and it's false. It's an illusion.
Oh, yeah.
The Federal Reserve is involved in almost every aspect of American life and internationally.
Yeah, but, I mean, people know that mainly the country is ran by bankers anyway, and they not doing much but scamming everybody, even the American government. You know what I'm saying? Even though we feel like, you know, they're a part of the whole thing, but scamming them too. They scamming us, scamming everybody. It's a whole big mess. That's why it needs to get abolished, pretty much, in my opinion.
So what system would you suggest?
Man,
somebody put in my chat room, that was Brother Delco, he was talking about, go back to the barter system. Would that really work in today's world?
I would think so. I mean, people still barter today, even though you got money around, but I see plenty of people often trading, no money involved, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think it'll be a problem. The barter system is like a natural instinct in to me in the first place. It's like it happens often. I work in a barbershop, so I see a lot of bartering anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it would necessarily be a bad thing, but, people so hooked on money, it'd be a hard change for some people.
Yeah, my world's greatest barber here, boy. I'd be there tomorrow, man. I need a cut.
Yeah, you do.
There's a link to the U.S. Census Bureau coming out of U.S. Commerce when you do a search on birth certificate. And it says the Census Bureau does not issue birth certificates, nor does it keep files or indexes of birth records. These are maintained by the Vital Statistics Office in the states or areas where the birth occurred.
But it didn't say, but this article I got here didn't say it issues them. It just said you register. It registers with the U.S. Department of Commerce, and then it goes to their own sub-agency. The U.S. Department, the U.S. Census Bureau, which is responsible for the registry, vital statistics from all states. Okay, they're going ahead and saying, hey, look, well, you brought it in. Okay, thanks. But they're not maintaining them. And it is something that needs to be looked into. You don't think so? There's no privacy.
On that same page, it talks about notification of birth registrations, too. Let people go read that themselves and report back.
I don't know about all that, boy. You know, it's eight, but you get your birth certificate. Everybody need to go ahead and look at it and see what's on there, because it's that little fine print and the little lines that's around it. You know, them little lines ain't little lines. This. They got some writings on that, some printing, some stuff that's printed there.
So you got yours there with you, Rob?
No, I'm gonna go look for it.
Well, I ain't getting mine. I let somebody else get theirs.
I'm gonna look for it. I'm gonna look it up, because I'm gonna look at it and go ahead and examine it with a fine tooth comb. It's enough. I mean, no more.
Hey, we seen Obama's birth certificate and it didn't have none of that stuff on it.
No, but well, what happens if they go ahead and you go ahead and you got to get another one.
Obama's birth certificate was all on the internet. None of that stuff was on there.
Maybe that's because they're in Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii is part of the United States. It's the 50th state, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, it's supposed to be.
All right, let's do it like this then. Okay, all that stuff is right and true. So what?
So that's what I'm saying. So what? So where do we go from here? But it just adds to the bigger picture that, hey, look, it's enough paperwork and a paper trail on you, enough about your personal information that this government knows.
Man, the government knows enough about you. They don't have to have no paper trail. They got cameras every place.
Cameras everywhere.
What time is your show every week?
9 o'clock Central
there
Time.
There it is, right there.
I ain't putting out some. Okay, I get your point. I get your.
They know where you are.
I get your point. But that birth certificate going ahead and being traded on the stock market, and I was looking for the part in this article where it said, "Well, hey, who's pretty much going in and collecting a dividend from this?"
Yeah, but traded for what, man? Who's worth something? I mean, how you gonna trade it for what? What is it worth? When you form a corporation, and in the declaration of that corporation, you issue so many shares, and you indicate what those shares are worth. So, all right. So we've been traded on the stock market. Now what?
Okay.
That sounds kind of crazy that regular people is being traded on the stock market. How do they view us if we're being traded on the stock market? What are we, like pieces of property, or are we citizens?
I was trying to look for that.
They don't have to issue you no Social Security card. Matter of fact, you don't even need a Social Security card. Only thing you need a Social Security card for, number, is when you deal in your taxes. You got these, some of these municipalities say when you fill out an occupancy permit, you're supposed to include your Social Security number. That's a lie. Social Security numbers are not supposed to be used in that way. Banks should use them, and Internal Revenue Service. But when your child is born, you do not have to get a Social Security number for that child at that point in time. You don't have to have a Social Security number to get a job.
I mean, my view of a Social Security number anyway is like the barcode on the product you buy from the store. You know what I'm saying? that's what a Social Security number is. That's how they know who the hell he is. So
when they gonna put them barcodes on your forehead?
Well, your Social Security number follows your Social Security record. So when you reach the age of 62 or, you know, try to collect on it from a disability earlier, then the amount of money that you paid into it, in other words, your record is associated with that number. That's how they track that. Every job that you work for, when they withhold the Social Security portion of your income tax plus what the employer is supposed to contribute to, they contribute to an account based on that number. That's it.
More ways to take your cash.
Well, that's something that everybody pays into is Social Security. Social Security and Medicare.
Really running out.
Pardon me?
Do you really think the Social Security system is failing and doomed? It's running out? Do you want me to make these payments and stuff in a few years?
I think so, because Congress kept borrowing from it.
I think it's just
they don't mention
out
that part.
Anyway. Right.
Say that again?
They don't mention it. I said I think it's just fading out because it's a scam anyway. I mean, what scam lasts long?
Well, no, it ain't no scam. You receive about several $1,000s a month from it. You can't say that's a scam.
Everybody don't receive several thousand. I know some people only getting $600 a month and got a $1,000 mortgage. And they 60-something.
It's based on how much you earn during your working career and how much you paid into it.
When you work 35 straight years, and all you get is $600 a month.
Well, it depends on how much you paid into it also.
Hold on, fellas. We're gonna go into overtime a little bit. I hope you guys can hang on. We're gonna go ahead and take this overtime. Let me go ahead and run something real quick. Get another drink of water, something else. Come on back real fast.
I'm not Bill Gates, man. I'm only Bill Gates, man. Babylon is still an underhead, man. Some of us say some of the work we both done. Yeah, let them move away from us. I'm not Bill Gates, man. I'm only Bill Gates, man.
Babylon is still an
underhead, man. Some of us say some of the work we both done. Yeah, let them move away from us. But man, if it's a touch, you man, they'll free it in a song. They take it to poverty, yeah. Can't let them get you down with iniquity. Country is down in a pretty. Mankind will take your crown to them living city. A lucky things are rust and a little litty. Babylon, yeah, you just sweet and sweet, yeah. No, yeah. Them not feel dead, man. Them only kill dead, man. Babylon be still and no underhead, man. Some of our faith and the earth is both done. Feel great, man. Them only kill great, man. Babylon be still a no underrated, man. Some of them say Satan, same to them son. One of them a one of them.
The more you them kill, see another one rise. And if Babylon a go rise. Bozai, a Baba Janai children cry. I pray for equal rights and justice for my people every day. Forbidden fruit in the garden, we have to weed them out, weed them out. Forbidden fruit in the garden, we have to weed them out, weed them out.
Them killed Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. A same thing them bring up on Rodney King. Millions dead, still them couldn't do the thing. King Selassie I'm a king, yeah. Some have been forever, some have flashed lightning. King Selassie I'm a king, yeah. Them can't break me joy, so me love within. Selassie I take me sin, yeah. Well, I cry for the love within. And
Rastafari is everything, yeah.
To the powers of the world we cling. Them can't do the Rastafari thing. Them not feel great, man. Them only kill great, man. Babylon be still and I'm right, man. Some of my things and the work we both done. Babylon be still an underrated. Some of my Satan works with fortune. Can't let them overcome. Great is great. Should not be underrated. Great is great. Should be appreciated. See your birth of greatness. Try your best to endorse it. Don't play bad mind and force it. Work in them chips. Make you want to in a basket. Think the last day of the outfit. Try your roots and your culture die. Rest of complete injustice, yeah. Injustice, yeah, yeah, yeah. Babylon, them not deal with.
Oh, welcome back. We're going to do a little bit over time. I wanted to go ahead and put a plug in for my show, my party. Brother Pianchi called it. Everybody's line is open. I'm doing a brunch.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing a brunch.
You got a long show.
In Chicago.
Man. You got a long show. You got a long show, Rob.
I'm glad you're here, Jerry.
You got a long show.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm glad
yeah, I'm here.
I want you to be at my brunch September 8th at the Genesis on the Avenue. It's on the west side of Chicago, 5811. Chicago Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, in the hood. Excuse me?
But you said 5811.
5811. Chicago Avenue. You scared of the West Side, man?
No, I've been over there.
All right, y'all gonna be out in a minute.
Wow.
So
say that what? They crazy, but I done
been over there. I'm gonna have Dr. Umar Johnson. It's gonna be saying a few words. He's actually coming out with a new documentary. If you hadn't seen Hidden Colors 1, go ahead and see Hidden Colors 2. Get it. I'm pretty sure you can find it almost anywhere. And the thing I really want to continue to discuss at that brunch is economics. I want businesses to come in and go ahead and make presentations about their own business and what kind of industry you're in. And it's just another way to go ahead and look at black-owned businesses and see what we can go ahead and do to support them. Brother Pianchi.
Yeah. Yeah, I put another information up there for the Department of Freedom of Information officer, where you can call them or email them, give them your social security number, and want to ask them how well your birth certificate is being traded on the stock market.
Well, I'll check that out.
They
right,
got
right.
to give it to you now.
I'll check that out. I copied the number down.
All right.
There's another. You think you're going to be able to make my brunch, Brother Pianchi? I'm not going. You know what? You mentioned something earlier, man. I'm not going to have bagels at all.
Well, it ought to be interesting then.
On that buffet table, I would have made it myself.
Mm.
I'm listening.
Well, you could have it at the bread company. They provide all this stuff for you. They got a bread company there in Chicago.
They got a few of them, and what I'm trying to do is also get in touch with some black bakers.
What do they call it, by the way, up there? Because here they call it St. Louis bread. Come, what do they call it in Chicago, or is it just here in St. Louis? Pantera,
okay. Vienna bread, and what's his other brother?
So they have a Pantera there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually trying to stay away from them. I'm trying to go ahead and find as many black-owned shops as possible, get them involved.
We don't have any black-owned shops like that around here, unfortunately. I think that's the bigger picture there. I don't know why some folks want to stay away from that. I guess it doesn't have as much suspense at some of these other topics that we get involved in. But the bigger picture is controlling those economics, controlling that dollar flow. That's what it gets down to in the long run. It's the thing that breaks up marriages. It's the thing that provides you with the tools that you can associate your children with as many skills or exposure to things as you possibly can. Look at Gabby Douglas. Her mother forego paying the mortgage on her home so that her daughter could be shipped out to that one location where she could be with a trainer that helped her to improve on her skills and made her successful during the last just past the Olympics. The lady went into bankruptcy. So it's all about that big E, economics.
Well, this is what I was saying. I agree with that, but there are already black businesses in the area. So let's go ahead and see how they're going ahead and stand in business so we can pass that message on. You don't agree?
Well, no, I agree that that's what you should be doing, quite naturally, yes. As much as you possibly can. And hoping they can get to the point where, rather than just buy wholesale and retail, well, if it's a bakery like them, pretty well sure that they make even ingredients that they need for the products that they're making and selling. you know, we should be able to control that as too.
See, just like I was trying to tell you, you know, you and I were corresponding and trying to deal with some of the black farmers, and that group you they never got in touch with me, man. They still haven't, and I tried to call, and I still ain't got nobody.
I
want to go ahead and get involved, and it's like with me in the food industry, I would like to go ahead and get my materials from the rawest source.
I talked to Eddie the other day, and also talked to another guy with Alcorn State by the name of Anthony Reed. So you must be calling him too early in the morning, man. You know there's a time difference there, I think. No, it's not a time difference. You in Chicago, right?
Oh.
Yeah, you still there?
Got clicked off. But they're in Mississippi, right?
Yeah, they're in Mississippi. But I talked to them the other day. And one from Alcorn got back with me. He's supposed to be trying to locate some things for me. I'll be coming up your way if he comes through.
Well, bring him up here September 8th. Bring him up here September 8th because I think, you know, persons like that really be beneficial to what we got going on, especially with the there's a variety of a lot of food places, and trying to push some of the stuff coming from the farms would really help a lot.
But you know, on your topic of the night about the Federal Reserve, a person want to understand more about that. As I said before, go back and read about Jefferson, and make sure you read about Lincoln. And I think there was one other president there in between them that was against central banking. Read about central banking early on in the history of the U.S. Then, once you pretty much understand that and get a gist for it, then get that book called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And that will get you started. Pay attention to those charts that they have in there. Those charts shows you the formation and the structure and the names of the players at different points in history of this country. For instance, Harrington brothers, who would later be friends of Prescott Bush and the Bush family. You got the Lehman brothers. You have the Loeb family. Of course, the Rothschilds, the Morgans. Morgan's still around today. J.P. Morgan. Every time you swipe your Snap card, they get paid. Lazare Frères in France. Even the Arabs got their, you know, click going on too, because this is nothing but a big game. And it's about, you got the Phillips Lehman, the Phillips Company, Phillips Oil. So once somebody gets that and start reading and understanding how it works, look how the Rockefellers, and look at the things that fall up underneath for them. You even find JCPenney in there. So it's very interesting. It makes you open your eyes. And it's continuing to get bigger. I mean, people coming along today, when somebody becomes a millionaire, a billionaire, they want to play with the big boys.
I do.
And they there at the event. They there at the brunch. They there at the dinner parties. And they're networking and trying to get in on what they can to help broaden what they already have.
Mm. Yeah, that's kind of like what I'm trying to do with this brunch here. It's more like networking, and I want to go ahead and get people more involved. So But this is, I haven't done anything like this in a minute, in a few years. So I'm getting some good responses and some positive feedback. But we'll see what it is. It's my first time in a few years going back to doing this, because I used to do other stuff like this years ago. But that's that. Look, we're going to go ahead and end this out here right now, man. Next show, I'm going to go ahead and come on tomorrow, because I want to go ahead and talk about what's going on with these with the RNC. And I guess today was the last day of it. And how it's going to go ahead and affect, how it's affecting us. Positive, negative. And we're going to stick with that money topic. Oh, yeah, also, brother, Dr. Umar is going to be speaking. One thing he's, you know, we're going to be dealing with is also economics. We're going to try to keep it all on the money and see what's going on.
Well, that sounds great. I think you'll be getting more out of that. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the economics, about the economy. Asia has more millionaires than the United States has. I mean, who would have thought that you would hear somebody say that? And they haven't even began. They're going to continue going on. India is going to come on the scene. Africa is going to come on the scene. Nigeria is going to come on the scene. That's a redistribution of money. And these players that we have been associated with, which haven't treated you right, you know what the African countries are doing? Based on the fact that U.S. and Europe have not treated them right, they're thumbing their nose at them, and they're talking business with these emerging economic superpowers, superpowers, should I say. Yeah.
You know what? Real quick, I see that, and I think that's really putting a scare in America and these European countries because they're losing their grip of power.
Well, absolutely. That's why come these wars are being started. It's these international bankers that start these wars, because they somehow or another they be funding both sides in war materials and so forth.
Right now, I'm not putting it out because it's been some years, but I've seen that firsthand. They provide weapons to both sides, man, and I was like, what? That's crazy. And the U.S. is doing it, Europe is doing it, and they all know what's going on. They may go ahead and step to the side, but they all know what's going on. Brother Piaggi, I'm going to go ahead and end my show here tonight. I'm glad
everybody
showed up.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot for showing up. Show up to the next show. My barber.
Yeah. Hey, how much time we got?
Got a few more minutes. You got something to say, brother? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, just real quick. I had, about economics and being, I know a lot of it being self-sufficient. What I want y'all to check out, if y'all can look it up whenever y'all get the chance, is this dude, his name is Jacques Resto. And he got something called the Venus System. It's all about being like self-sufficient world in all over the world, not just America, but self-sufficient. And he map it out, and he tell you, you know what I'm saying, how the whole system of the barter system and everything would work if you were the, you know, if you start back using that. So just if you get the chance, just look up the Venus System. That's all. It's real interesting. So
we'll do that. You can probably go ahead and maybe do a show on that whole thing after I do my research. All right, brothers. Thanks for showing up. Night.
No problem.
To all of the Eden them. Yeah. A message from Jah. Yeah. I'm the Pharaoh. Watch this.
If you're listening in Brighton, welcome back. Second half of the Roots Garden Sound System show. This one brand new out of the UK, Mikey Murka, Hotter Fire. Check it out.
Hotter fire as a bond, hypocrite and parasite. Jah, 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 J